I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. The 2014 midterm election is about a month away. Florida's gubernatorial race is close in the polls and is garnering national attention. Current Governor Rick Scott faces former governor and Republican-turned-Democrat Charlie Crist in November. Each has been touring the state and working on gaining support from Florida voters. They've made education and the economy front and center issues for this campaign. To talk about his education and economic policies and others, should he be elected, I'll speak with candidate for governor Charlie Crist. 90.7 News has also reached out to Governor Rick Scott to speak with us on this program. As of this week, his campaign has been unable to schedule time for an interview, but that open invitation to Governor Scott continues throughout the election season, and we hope he'll be able to join us on this program. A conversation with gubernatorial candidate Charlie Crist, that's ahead on Intersection. I'm joined in the studio now by former Governor Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist served as the 44th Governor of Florida from 2007 to 2011. As a Republican, he's now running for a second time on the Democratic ticket. Governor Crist, thank you very much for joining me.
Matt, it's great to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
I want to start with talking about Medicaid expansion. Now, you said that you would explore expanding Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act through executive order bypassing the legislature. Is there a precedent for this?
There is. I'll do it however we need to do it. I'm not wedded to either approach. I just want to get it done. But in Ohio, it has been done by executive order. So there's some good legal precedent that it can be done by executive order. Certainly, I'm willing to do that. But if we need to call a special session of the legislature after getting sworn in, God willing, then we do it that way. But the point that is so important to me, Matt, is that today in Florida, again, a million of our fellow Floridians are not getting the health care that they deserve and more importantly, that they need, because Rick Scott won't lift a finger to get it done. And that's just unconscionable and it's wrong.
Are you worried, though, that by stepping aside from the legislature right off the bat, you might create some problems working with them down the track? I mean, there's already folks up there from your former party who aren't overly fond of you for changing tickets. So is that a problem?
Well, that's why my preference would be to do it with them. You know, I think after the election, if things go well, and I hope and I pray they do, then one of the things I want to make crystal clear is that, you know, look, the campaign's over. It's time to move forward. And, you know, they were all sent here by good Floridians in their districts. And hopefully I would have been sent here by good Floridians all over the state. You know, we ought to put our partisanship aside. Forget that, you know, you got an R or a D behind your name. Realize that we're all Floridians first, and let's do what's right for the people who sent us here, because that's what they want us to do.
Is there, aside from if you can't work with the legislature and you don't want to go the executive order route, is there an alternative to getting this done, expanding Medicaid?
Those are, I think, the only two ways that we can do it. It's either by executive order or with the consent and concurrence of the legislative branch. But I'm pretty optimistic that they would do it, and I'll tell you why. I think most of the people in the legislature are pretty decent folks. You know, some of those Republicans are people I've known for a long time. And I think they have, most of them, I think they have good hearts. And I think they'll want to do what's right. And if you look them in the eye and you persuade them and reach to their better angels, I think we would be successful.
Just talking about the Affordable Care Act, what else would you do to make sure that this works? I mean, there's still some folks in Florida who aren't. They're a little bit wary of the Affordable Care Act. There are a lot of people signed up, some 7.3 million or so. 90% have paid their premiums. But what else could you do to make sure that that actually works? Because there are still concerns about it.
Well, I think you have to continue to explain what it does, the advantages that it brings, the cost savings that it brings about, the jobs that it's creating all across the state. I mean, just on the Medicaid part alone, if we get that expanded, studies have indicated that that would create 120,000 new jobs in Florida. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's amazing. It also would invest about $60 billion more dollars in Florida over the next 10 years. So, you know, those are things that I think you'd want to share with people instead of, you know, condemning it and bemoaning it and castigating it all the time because, you know, the governor doesn't get along with the president of the United States. That would all be gone. And we would have the opportunity to have navigators, people who could help, you know, fellow Floridians find out how to sign up, how easy it is, how convenient it is. And what a wonderful program it is, because under the Affordable Care Act, people are no longer excluded because they may have had a pre-existing condition and couldn't get health care at all in the past. That's gone now because of this act.
Let's talk about education, if we could. I mean, that's been a pretty big focus of this campaign, both for you and for your opponent, Governor Scott, especially on education spending. Now, in his last budget, Governor Scott earmarked $18.8 billion in funding for K-12 education. You've said you don't think that that's enough. If you were presented with this budget, how much would you allocate to K-12?
Certainly more. What I think we have to do is reprioritize public education in Florida. And let's review what the facts are. When Governor Scott came into office, one of the first things he did in his first budget was cut $1.3 billion out of education, gutted it. It's unconscionable, unbelievable that somebody would do that. And I think that the first focus for our administration would be to restore those cuts. You know, we did a bus tour all about it for several days during the course of the campaign. And restoring the cuts is mission number one. We have to do it. We have to get, you know, respect back for our school teachers. They have been demoralized, Matt, and I talk to them each and every day across the state. We have to lift their spirits so that they can have renewed energy in their job and do what's right to make our schools the very best they can be. And that's what I would do first.
When you talk about restoring the cuts, though, Governor Christ, I mean, hasn't Governor Scott already done some of the work for you? He's put a lot of that money back into education after that first year.
Not enough. And what's more important is how much you spend per pupil. The per child funding under my administration during the Great Recession, let's have the proper context here, was higher than in any year Rick Scott served as governor when he had almost $3 billion surplus. So what we don't have is a revenue problem. We have a governor in Rick Scott with a priority problem. You have to prioritize our children, our teachers, and invest in education. And most importantly, as I said, the student funding per student is the most important aspect of it.
How would you prepare for another economic downturn? You referenced the Great Recession. Teachers were laid off. Funds were cut there. What did you learn from that, and how would you do things differently this time around?
Well, I think we have to reexamine the fact that most Floridians understand that one person didn't cause the global economic meltdown. Frankly, it was a bunch of greedy people in Wall Street wanting to have mortgages on the cheap that caused what happened to our economy. And so I think what you have to do is continue to be an open-minded, reasonable, and practical leader, as I was before. Imagine if I hadn't been governor the 4 years I was, and instead it was Rick Scott, for example, and the Recovery Act came into being under President Obama. He said it was an absolute mistake. Rick Scott said it was an absolute mistake for me to have taken the recovery funds. And, you know, if he had been in office and had not taken them, he would have had to fire 20,000 Florida teachers. I mean, if we were to have a double dip and a problem with the economy again going forward, the last guy you want in office is a guy who's not willing to work with others, work across the aisle, and would reject Recovery Act funds that, frankly, got us through a very tough time in Florida.
Let's talk, too, about the Florida Education Association. Now, they've endorsed your campaign for governor. There has been some controversy over the implementation of Common Core standards in the state, and the FEA says the state is lagging behind in training teachers and developing curriculum. I mean, first of all, how's the state, you know, how well has it done with implementation of those 2010 Common Core standards, in your view?
Terrible. They aren't doing anything well in terms of implementation of standards in Florida. You got to realize, Matt, under Rick Scott, we've had four education commissioners in 4 years. I mean, they're incompetent. You know, they change the grading system so they get more A's and B's. I mean, we've seen it in the press. They do it all the time. When you have that kind of leadership, which is a lack of leadership, frankly, we have no true accountability in education in Florida right now. We have teachers that are forced to teach to the test instead of teaching, you know, and giving students the opportunity to learn subject matter. I mean, it's a mess. And I know that teachers are frustrated, students are frustrated. But, you know, not too long from now, we're going to have a chance to fix it all. And it's called Election Day.
Your opponent, though, has said that, you know, he's also calling for a thorough investigation of standardized testing. Is that something you're looking for as well?
Realize what he just said. He's looking in them, you know, investigate what I'm doing. Investigate what's happening under my leadership. What? Why don't you just do your leadership right and you won't have to call on your own education department to be investigated? I mean, that's Alice in Wonderland.
So what would you do? What would the first thing you would do to try and fix some of what you say is going wrong?
Well, make sure that we have standards that are appropriate and make sure that we take the emphasis on testing out of our education system. As I said before, our teachers are having to teach to the test instead of having good learning centers, we're developing testing centers. And frankly, I think it's driven by the profit motive. Those test makers and test deliverers are people that are making great profit out of giving those tests. I vetoed a bill, Matt, when I was governor before that put the kind of emphasis we have on tests right now under Rick Scott. And when he got into office in his first year, he signed the very bill that I vetoed. And that's why we have as much testing as we do and a lot of people making money off it.
Let's talk too quickly about Bright Futures. Now, according to one estimate, the state needs some $45 million to bring that that program back to where it was. Would you support bringing some more money back into Bright Futures?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things, another thing that's just unbelievable about Rick Scott and what he's done to our education system in Florida. Having cut Bright Futures scholarships in half, about 50,000 students are not getting Bright Futures scholarships because Rick Scott wouldn't fund it. Now, I don't know how you can do that. Bright Futures is a great program. We have to make college more affordable. And yet he's whacked half of it out of the system. That 50,000 students that can't get a Bright Future scholarship anymore because of Rick Scott, that's like wiping out the University of Florida. I mean, it's unconscionable. And the people it hurts the most in demographically in Florida are African Americans and Hispanics who need the help the most. And so one of the things I would want to restore right away in the first year are those Bright Future scholarships, because the young people of Florida deserve it, they need it, and they should get a higher education.
Where would that money come from?
It would come from the budget. As I mentioned before, this past year we had almost a $3 billion surplus. It's right there. But you have to have a governor who prioritizes education again. With that amount of surplus, Rick Scott only had a mere 7% going into education out of that $3 billion. That's hardly a priority.
Well, that seems like a good point to segue to talk about the economy. Now, your economic plan includes tax cuts for the middle class, investments in infrastructure, investments in new forms of energy. First of all, on tax cuts, I mean, if you're cutting taxes from the middle class, where are you getting that capital to invest in infrastructure and new forms of energy?
Well, as I mentioned before, we're talking about a $3 billion surplus in Florida. So if you have that kind of revenue coming in, and you give tax cuts to the middle class instead of tax cuts to the rich, which is what Rick Scott is doing, you know, you got to realize what he's done is promised $266 million to out-of-state corporations. This is his economic plan. Out-of-state corporations to come into Florida, cannibalize our existing Florida businesses, small businesses, and then offer jobs to people. Of the promised jobs, only 4% have been delivered. So what that is to me, that's a 96% failure rate on Rick Scott's economic plan. You know, he said he was going to provide 1,700,000 jobs as governor. They haven't even gotten, you know, around 600,000. So he's about 1 million short on his promise already. It's a failed plan. It doesn't work. He doesn't understand that it's not trickle-down economics that works. You have to support the middle class and make your economy go from the inside and grow from the inside out, not from the top down.
Governor Crist, while you were in office as governor of Florida, some 800,000 jobs were lost. What did you learn from that time, that facing that recession?
That when you have a global economic meltdown that is no fault of any single person, you have to have somebody as your leader and steering the ship that has a practical mind and understands that you need to work with others in order to get Florida through a very difficult storm. It's why I decided to take the Recovery Act money, $12 billion of Americans' money, Floridians' money, and reinvest it in Florida. It's why we didn't have to fire 20,000 teachers. And as I mentioned previously, Rick Scott said it was an absolute mistake to do so. Really? I mean, he would have let all those teachers get fired, be without work, not have any new infrastructure coming in, which we did with part of the $12 billion that we got from the federal government. That's the right kind of leadership. If we have a double dip, you want Charlie Crist, because I'll have your back.
What about small businesses? What's your plan to try and stimulate small business growth in Florida?
Number one, try to get them more capital. I think it's very important that, you know, these small businesses who've had a very difficult time getting capital from banks understand that there's a place and we can help them in Florida through an existing plan. And number one, I would start with that rather than giving money to the big corporations that really don't need the help. 95% of jobs are created by small businesses all across Florida. We need to refocus on them. We need to help them with the capital that they need to have so that they can maintain what they're doing and hopefully be able to grow and start new ones too.
How do you reroute some of that capital with smaller businesses?
Well, we have money within the budget. You know, he's giving it to out-of-state corporations. I would direct it towards small businesses in Florida. You know, give them microloans, and they'll make a huge difference to small businesses. They're not making much of a difference to his out-of-state corporations he's trying to lure into Florida who haven't delivered on the jobs.
And what do you say to criticism that during your term as governor, small businesses kind of dwindled and shriveled a little bit? I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, again, we had a global economic meltdown. No kidding. You know, it was a tough time for everybody. Everybody understands that. That's what I say to it. But again, I did the kinds of things that were right to do, not politically expedient, not what my former party wanted me to do, but taking the Recovery Act dollars saved a lot of those businesses from getting into even deeper trouble and saved more of our citizens from having to lose their jobs.
I'm Matthew Petty, and you're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm speaking with former governor and current gubernatorial candidate Charlie Crist. You can join the conversation online on Facebook. Send us a tweet at WMFE Orlando. You can also send us an email at intersection@wmfe.org. Infrastructure is another part, another point rather, on your economic plan. I guess reinvesting in the Space Coast. We've already got some investment coming through from NASA there, some $6.8 billion for two companies to work on those commercial crew capsules. What else would you do to try and stimulate growth on the Space Coast? You know, the area has really suffered since the demise of the shuttle program.
It has, and it's unfortunate because in the Space Coast we have some of the brightest engineering minds in the world, and I think it's important that we keep them there and retain that industry. So I would work hard with our federal partners in Washington to say, look, we want to have a refocus on the space program in Florida. I would reach out to people, as I've already done. You mentioned earlier about two companies that got so much to invest in getting to the International Space Station. Among them was SpaceX. The head of the company is a gentleman named Elon Musk, who I've already met with in anticipation of hopefully winning this election, and to continue to be able to work with him and others that can help us with the development and furtherance of the space program on the Space Coast. It's the right thing to do, and we haven't seen that done yet.
What about transportation now? High-speed rail, you said you would try to bring high-speed rail back to the state, but, I mean, those federal funds are long gone now, so how would you do that?
Well, here's my hope, and I've had discussions with people in the administration already. If, in fact, we elect a governor in Charlie Crist, who, you know, doesn't despise the president of the United States and is willing to work with him and has done so even in the past, could it be so that if the economy continues to recover, slowly as it might be, and you start to get more revenue in our federal coffers, would it be possible for Florida to get a second bite at the apple at high-speed rail? They have indicated to me that, yes, it would be. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It's, again, unconscionable to me that Rick Scott rejected $2.4 billion of investment, would have created 60,000 jobs, and would have alleviated a lot of the traffic on I-4 and given us a much safer and cleaner way to travel between Tampa Bay and Orlando, and then ultimately onto West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami.
What about the argument, though, that private companies are better at building these projects? We've already got All Aboard Florida looking at building that rail line between Orlando and Miami. Is it not better to try and sort of stimulate private companies to do that rather than get federal funding or even state funding for some of these projects?
You know how long it's been since we've had a private company build a railroad in America, let alone Florida? You know, decades. So apparently they're not that good at it, you know, and I'm hopeful they are in the future. Don't get me wrong, but it hasn't happened. So my hope is that we would be able to possibly do both. Why not have public-private partnership at work with one of these programs where you get the assistance that we could have had that now California is getting, the $2.4 billion that, frankly, Florida citizens sent to Washington, and we simply ought to get back. We're a donor state. And explore other avenues to have more development of rail throughout the state of Florida. Florida is ideal for high-speed rail. It's a long state, as we all know, and it's flat. So you don't have to build a bunch of tunnels as you might have to out in California or other northern states.
What about new forms of energy? You've talked about investing in new forms of energy, but what are the specifics of what you want to put money into and where would you see those projects being situated?
First and foremost, solar and wind. Florida is, after all, the Sunshine State, and we are 18th in America in solar energy development. That's shameful. You know, we ought to be number one on the planet on solar energy development. As I said, we are the Sunshine State. And so it seems to me that where you start with that is you change the way the laws are written that give such an advantage to the big current existing utilities in our state. They like it the old way. And apparently they like Rick Scott because they've contributed millions of dollars to his reelection campaign. And as a result, they're virtually unregulated right now, Matt, and their rates go up and up and up. And so what I think you need to do is break that down, develop laws that allow for more solar energy and wind development too, by the way. One of our utilities in Florida, Florida Power and Light, develops many of the wind turbines that are shipped out of the state or other parts of the country and other parts of the world. We don't have one wind turbine in Florida. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the wind energy and the solar energy that could be developed in Florida would make it cheaper, certainly make it cleaner, and have a better renewable policy going forward that's better for Florida, better for America, and frankly, better for the planet.
How would you work with some of those power companies? Like some of them, for example, Duke and others have expressed some concerns about EPA proposals to cut carbon emissions. They're saying, you know, the proposal to cut CO2 by, I think, some 40% almost by 2040 is going to be really costly for consumers. I mean, how do you work with a company that says it's not a good idea to be doing these kind of, taking these sort of strategies on board?
Well, you respectfully disagree. Bring them to the table and say, look, you know, we've got to find a common ground here or some consensus because things that, that scientists are talking about are happening and they're happening in Florida and we're ground zero for climate change. And so if you don't understand the reality of what's going on in the planet, then it's going to be hard for you to be able to work with a new administration that wants to get about the business of addressing climate change and as quickly as we can. When you go down to South Florida in particular, and you go to Miami Beach specifically, and more specifically, Alton Road, one of the major thoroughfares down there, you can see that even when it's not raining, it's flooding. And that tells you that we're having rising sea levels as we sit here today. Now, if we don't get off the dime and get about the business of addressing this issue with alternative fuels, with smarter ways to keep our environment cleaner, then we're going to be in trouble. And I'm not going to sit around and let that happen if I'm the governor of Florida. I'm going to make sure that we're addressing it and we bring all the partners we can to bear to help us move forward in the direction that we need to go.
Is that the most important environmental issue you think the state is facing, climate change and some of the mitigating some of those effects?
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, we have to stay vigilant about protecting Florida. Florida's a beautiful place. And one of the things I know is that almost unique to Florida, our economy is inextricably linked to our environment. The tourist industry is pretty important to the state. People come here because Florida is so beautiful. And if you don't get and understand that preserving and protecting that natural beauty is only good for Florida's economy, you must not be a Floridian. Rick Scott doesn't seem to get it. And that's why I really think we need to make this change in our leadership. This is a campaign about the soul of Florida. And I was with former Governor Bob Graham the other night, and he said, some people believe that Florida is a commodity to be sold. Other people believe that Florida is a treasure. I'm on the side of those who believe it's a treasure. Rick Scott thinks it's a commodity. And so in going forward in this campaign and the days that remain, we have to make crystal clear the choice that people of Florida can make. They can have a governor who really cares about education and will invest in it from the get-go, not just in the election year. We can have a governor, again, who cares about the environment, about solar energy and wind and some of the things we've talked about as renewables. We can have a governor, again, who really does care about the people, the middle class of Florida, instead of just, you know, wealthy corporations. There's a lot on the line in this race, and I look forward to November 4th and a new day for Florida.
Let me ask you, too, about springs protection, because Governor Scott is calling for $1 billion for alternative water sources and springs restoration. What would you do to propose, or what do you propose to do to try and help restore those waterways?
Well, what I wouldn't have done is cut it, which is what he did. You know, he cut it, just like he did education. He cut it. And other issues in the environment, he cut and cut and cut. Well, now he's about to face the voters. And he goes, oh, I'm going to give $1 billion there. Oh, wait. I'm going to give $1 billion over here. No, no, don't judge me by what I did. Judge me by the words I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to give $1 billion here. It's a joke. It's absurd. What I would not have done is cut the way Rick Scott did. I would support it from the very beginning. I would honor teachers, not just trying to pretend to during election year, but every year. It's what they deserve.
And let me ask you, too, about something that took place when you were governor. You brokered a deal with US Sugar where the state would buy US Sugar to put aside lands for Everglades restoration. Is that something you'd resurrect if you were reelected?
I would love to, Matt, and I think it's important to do so, and it brings up a very important issue and another distinction, yet another distinction between Rick Scott and myself. I think we need to preserve the Everglades. I know that we do. I know how precious and I know how important it is. It's a unique place on the planet. Rick Scott, on the other hand, advocated drilling for oil in the Everglades of all places. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. And so, again, a clear distinction between the two of us, somebody who believes that Florida is a treasure and the other who believes Florida is a commodity.
I want to just ask you finally, Governor Crist, about women's rights. Now, your campaign has made this an issue with a political ad criticizing Rick Scott's policies on abortion and birth control. What would you do if you were elected governor this time around? How would you expand Florida's policies on these issues?
I would keep government's nose out of it. There's no place for government to be involved in where a woman needs to make her own decision, her own choice about her body and about her health. Rick Scott wants to overturn Roe versus Wade, which protects that right to choose. He said so. Rick Scott does not want to allow women to make their choice about their body. That's wrong. He signed another bill this session that marches in that direction, too. I will stay out of that. I will keep government away from it. I will appoint judges to the Florida Supreme Court that will respect a woman's right to choose. Rick doesn't respect them. I do. That's the difference.
You've had some mixed positions in the past. You've called yourself both pro-life and pro-choice. Do you find yourself sort of fighting those Republican ideals of the past?
No. What I'm saying is that I'm personally pro-life. And what do I mean by that? It means that I'm for life. I hope we're all for life. But I am not for imposing my will on anybody making their own personal decision about their personal life. Rick Scott wants to do that. You know, he belongs to a party that has a slogan, less government and more freedom. Well, it looks like more government and less freedom when it comes to social issues and the hard right of the Republican Party. It's not right. People should make their own decisions about their life, and government ought to stay out of it.
There's been criticism of the campaigning leading up to this election. It's been called, you know, one of the most expensive elections in terms of money being poured into negative campaigning. How do you feel about that? Is there something corrosive about this particular election this time around?
It's awful. It's awful. I'm running against a guy who says he's going to spend $100 million and that he's going to spend his money at the outset of the campaign. Now we're about in the fourth quarter, frankly, defining his opponent. What a financial bully. That's why nobody else ran, you know. And I just think it's wrong, you know, to be able to buy the governor's mansion once 4 years ago. Floridians cannot let this guy buy the governor's mansion again. It is not right. I am very proud. We have over 50,000 individual contributors of $100 or less. And we're trying to get out a message of fighting for education, fighting for the environment, fighting for women's rights, fighting for the middle class, you know, raising the minimum wage, fighting for equal pay for women. These are the things that I will do if I win. This is what I'm fighting for. I am fighting for Florida. Rick Scott is, meanwhile, spending all his money to tear me down.
We've been speaking to former Governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, the 44th Governor of Florida, running under the Democratic ticket this time around. Governor Crist, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be with you.
90.7 News has reached out to Governor Rick Scott to talk to us on Intersection. As of this week, his campaign has been unable to schedule time for an interview, but we'll continue to extend that open invitation both to Governor Rick Scott and to Lieutenant Governor Carlos Lopez Cantera throughout this election season. We do hope they'll be able to join us on this program. The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Brendan Byrne is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.